This episode's audio was generated using AI technology. Imagine waking up one morning, grabbing your coffee, and looking out the window to see, like, a 100-story skyscraper just standing right in the middle of your city.
Oh, wow.
Right. Yesterday, it was just a gravel lot. Today, it's fully built.
Yeah.
The glass is gleaming, the elevators are humming, and security guards are already directing foot traffic into the lobby.
Yeah, that would be completely terrifying. I mean, your first reaction wouldn't be to marvel at the construction speed. You'd instantly be thinking, did anyone actually check the structural blueprints?
Exactly.
What happens to that glass when a Category 5 hurricane hits? Is the whole thing just going to collapse into dust because they skip pouring a proper foundation?
Because, you know, in the physical world, we inherently understand that structural engineering takes time, right? Mm. And we demand absolute rigor before we let people inside. But in the software world,
we just hand out the keys.
We might just be handing out the keys to that overnight skyscraper and calling it a breakthrough.
Welcome to another episode of Kernel Panic. Today, we are bypassing the surface-level tech hype to examine the practical technical realities of software architecture, code shipping, and the very human side of engineering. And we have an incredibly wild week in the TypeScript ecosystem to break down.
We certainly do. So Vercel Labs just dropped a major project called Scriptsy.
Right.
And it is billed as a zero runtime TypeScript to native compiler. The core promise here is just massive for anyone shipping code. It's about entirely eliminating the Node.js overhead for executables.
So no V8 engine spinning up.
Exactly. No V8, no Node binary required on the host machine at all. Just pure native machine code running instantly.
We are pulling from a really diverse stack of sources to figure out what is actually going on under the hood here. We've got the official Scriptic GitHub readme, some very intense, highly technical hacker news debates featuring professional compiler experts.
Oh, those were brutal. Yeah, really spicy. Plus analysis from tech blogs like Bidiota, Mayhem Code, and PKG Pulse, a fascinating Mastodon post by language implementer Hong Min He, and a perfectly timed academic paper by Mamdo Elanizi on specification-driven development versus AI, quote, vibe coding.
The mission for today is to really deconstruct the actual architecture of Scriptary. Mm-hmm. We need to investigate the credibility of its performance claims and, well, explore the highly controversial engineering process that seemingly generated nearly 1 million lines of code in a single week.
Yeah, that number is still melting my brain. For you listening, whether you're architecting massive enterprise backend systems or just writing deployment shell scripts, this is a critical teardown of a project that could either fundamentally change how we ship command line interfaces or serve as a massive cautionary tale about AI-generated architecture.
Absolutely.
So, okay, let's unpack this structural engineering first. Before we get to the controversy, how does Script mechanically take TypeScript and turn it into native code?
So it operates on a strict three-tier architecture. The foundational pitch is that it takes standard TypeScript, meaning no special dialects, no weird new annotations, and compiles it statically.
Okay, so that's tier one.
Right. Tier one is that default statically compiled path. So Scriptsec uses the real TypeScript compiler, TSC, to parse and type check the code. It converts that abstract syntax tree into a typed intermediate representation, or IIR.
God.
And then it lowers that IR into raw C code and finally compiles it to a native executable via LLVM or Clang.
Okay, wait, let me make sure I am visualizing this correctly. An intermediate representation is basically like a universal translator, right?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Like, you don't try to translate TypeScript directly into raw machine code because the leap is just too complex. You translate it into this abstract middle ground language first, optimize that, and then lower it to C because, I mean, C compilers like LLVM have 40 years of optimization built into them.
That is the exact mechanism, yeah.
Yeah.
You let the C compiler do the heavy lifting of optimizing for specific CPU architectures.
Yeah.
But, and this is the big, but as we know, TypeScript allows a massive amount of dynamic behavior because, well, it's just a superset of JavaScript.
Right.
So what happens when the compiler hits code? It absolutely cannot statically analyze. That brings us to tier two.
The dynamic tier.
Yes. You trigger this with the dynamic flag at compile time. If Scriptary encounters untyped NPM dependencies, or, you know, code heavily relying on any type, It embeds an engine called QuickJS Ang.
Which is pretty small, right?
Yeah, it's a compact JavaScript engine.
Right.
Roughly 620 kilobytes in size. And it creates a strict runtime boundary between the native C code and the dynamic JavaScript environment.
Okay, I want to use an analogy here to explain this boundary because I think it helps. The tier system is essentially an exclusive nightclub. Tier 1 is the native VIP room. It's incredibly fast. You get immediate bottle service directly from the CPU.
I like this.
Tier 2 is general admission. Like, you get in, but it's crowded and you're stuck waiting in line with QuickJS. But that runtime boundary is like having a bouncer at the door of the VIP room checking your ID every single time you walk a variable back in.
Right, exactly.
If the VIP room expects a number and you try to pass a string from general admission, the bouncer doesn't just let you in to cause chaos.
No, the bouncer throws a catchable type error. The system flat out refuses to corrupt memory by casting a string to a number in C. It strictly validates the crossing of that boundary. And if you refuse to enable tier 2, you hit tier 3.
The rejection tier.
Yep. The compiler just flat out refuses to guess. If it hits a dynamic construct, it cannot handle statically. And you haven't given it permission to embed QuickJS, it fails a build.
Oh, wow. Hard fail.
Hard fail. But it provides a specific diagnostic code like SC2N90 for using optional parameters as values and suggests exactly how to rewrite your code. It will not silently miscompile your application.
And the performance claims they are putting out there to justify this architecture are just staggering. I mean, they tested this on Apple M series chips, byte for byte verified against Node, Go, Rust, and Zig.
Yeah, the numbers are wild.
They are claiming 178 kilobyte static binary with a startup time of 2.4 milliseconds. For context, Node takes about 47 milliseconds just to wake up. And if you try to package a single executable app using Node's official tools, you're looking at like a 60 to 100 megabyte file.
The runtime memory usage is equally stark. I mean,
yeah.
Script Checklight claims 1 to 4 megabytes of RAM. A running Node process idles somewhere between 67 and 116 megabytes usually.
Which is huge at scale.
Oh, absolutely. When you scale that up in a containerized serverless environment, dropping from 100 megabytes of RAM to 2 megabytes changes your entire server billing model. And Vercel backs this up with an impressive CI/CD pipeline. They have over 800 differential tests ensuring standard output, standard error, and exit codes match Node byte for byte.
They even fuzz verified the number formatting against Node on a million different variables, and they are running an address sanitizer memory safety lane to catch C-level memory leaks. It looks, you know, on paper, incredibly rigorous.
So on paper, we have a memory-safe, lightning-fast VIP room with exhaustive testing. But when actual compiler engineers looked at the blueprints, they saw a massive foundational crack. The reality of the modern TypeScript ecosystem just immediately breaks this pristine architecture.
Yeah, let's look at what happened on Hacker News. The debates were brutal. You had industry veterans looking at this and essentially ripping the core design philosophy to shreds.
The most prominent critique came from a user named Pizlinator, who is a professional who optimizes dynamic languages for a living. They didn't mince words. They called the architecture idiotic.
Ouch.
Yeah. And claimed it has zero credible performance numbers for real-world applications.
Hmm.
They grounded this in two very specific architectural flaws. First, the AnyType and the reality of the NPM ecosystem.
Okay, let me put this in perspective for the listener, because 80% of TypeScript repositories use explicit AnyTypes somewhere in their code base. And when you pull down a random NPM package, say like a logging library or a date formatter, you're usually downloading raw, untyped JavaScript that just has a DTS declaration file slapped on the side like a sticky note.
Exactly. And because Scriptacre requires absolute static certainty to stay in Tier 1, the vast majority of real-world production code is going to trigger Tier 2 immediately. We'll instantly fall back to embedding QuickJS.
Right.
And while QuickJS is wonderfully small at 620 kilobytes, Pizlinator points out that it is an interpreter. It is hilariously slow compared to modern, heavily optimized just-in-time engines like V8, which dynamically compiles hot loops into machine code on the fly. You are abandoning native speed the second you import a standard NPM library.
Wait, so if the compiler relies on a fundamentally slower engine for standard NPM packages, and you fall out of the native VIP path the moment a deeply nested dependency uses any, isn't the whole zero runtime claim just a marketing illusion?
Pretty much.
You're basically keeping a tiny JavaScript engine hidden in your desk drawer and pretending your office is engine-free.
What's fascinating here is it exposes a massive disconnect between benchmark code and production code. When you evaluate a new tool, you have to look past the happy path demos, like a pure Fibonacci sequence with zero external imports, and examine how the architecture behaves when it hits the messy reality of your actual dependency tree.
Yeah.
And the second major flaw, Pizzlinator pointed out, is even deeper. It affects code even when it stays entirely inside the Tier 1 native path. It's the float problem.
Okay, let me make sure I fully grasp the float problem, because JavaScript handles numbers in a notoriously weird way. JavaScript basically doesn't believe in integers, right? Every single number is secretly a massive 64-bit floating point decimal under the hood.
Yes, exactly.
So if I write a basic for loop counting from 1 to 10, is script like literally forcing my CPU to do complex decimal math just to count to 10?
Yes, and that's exactly why compiler experts are tearing their hair out over this. To remain byte for byte, perfectly compatible with Node's output, ScriptYurigi currently compiles all JavaScript numbers straight to the double type in C. One developer actually inspected the C code output for a simple loop counter, and it was entirely constructed of floating point variables.
Which is wildly inefficient for a CPU compared to basic integer math. I mean, CPUs chew through integers.
Right. Deferring integer optimization ignores decades of settled just-in-time compiler wisdom. In the 80s and 90s, compiler engineers figured out speculative optimization and hidden classes. An engine like V8 will look your loop, guess that it's a simple integer, compile blazing fast machine code for it, and only bail out to floating point math if the number suddenly turns into a decimal later.
Oh, wow.
Inferring integers is half the battle of making JavaScript fast. ScriptStorm pushed that to the roadmap. So even when you're in the native VIP room, you're wearing concrete shoes because of the heavy math instructions hitting the processor.
So how did a team of apparently brilliant engineers at Vercel miss fundamental compiler optimizations that have been understood for 40 years?
Well, the answer lies in the engineering process itself.
The 900,000-line elephant in the room. When observers checked the GitHub repository statistics, they found that 918,000 lines of code had landed in a single week, pushed by just a handful of contributors.
That is just not a humanly possible volume of code.
No, not at all. There was one single massive commit that added 802,000 lines. Furthermore, the documentation was full of Claudeisms, you know, those telltale conversational ticks and formatting quirks you get from Claude and other large language models. It became immediately apparent this code base was heavily generated by AI agents. One critic actually dubbed the project a weapons-grade AI psychosis.
That phrase is striking, isn't it? And it perfectly aligns with a newly published academic paper by Mamdou Alanasi on AI-native software engineering. Alanasi contrasts two distinct modern development paradigms. The first is what he categorizes as vibe coding.
Vibe coding. That's a term floating around social media a lot lately. It's highly conversational. You essentially just prompt the AI to build something, and as long as it visually appears to work, you ship it without deeply inspecting the internal logic.
Right. Vibe coding prioritizes speed, momentum, and intuition. It leads to instant success, giving the developer an incredible state of flow. But Alanasi's research, which analyzed a massive corpus of peer-reviewed data, shows it hides massive technical debt, security exposure, and architectural erosion. The AI generates code based on local context, completely missing the global architectural constraints.
So what does this all mean? Let's apply that to ScriptNIC to show what that actually looks like in practice. If an AI agent is instructed to make TypeScript run a C code and perfectly match Node's output, it lacks the semantic foresight to care about integer inference.
Exactly.
The easiest, fastest way to pass the immediate test is to just map everything to 64-bit floats. It obediently writes the C code, it passes the 800 differential test, and it looks like a massive success. But the architecture is fundamentally rotten for long-term performance.
The tests create an illusion of rigor. AI can generate tests and syntax flawlessly at lightning speed, but it currently lacks the semantic, long-term architectural judgment required to build a compiler's fundamental memory and number handling model. A human compiler engineer knows you must implement integer inference early on because it impacts the entire downstream design of the system.
The AI built the overnight skyscraper. It passed all the building inspections, primarily because the AI also generated the inspection checklist.
Yeah, that's a great way to frame it.
But the foundation is sitting on sand, so what is the alternative to vibe coding?
Well, Alanasi points to specification-driven development, or SDD. In SDD, you use strict, mathematically sound, machine-readable specifications as the ultimate source of truth. You govern the AI. The AI's generation is constrained by deterministic validation against a master blueprint.
So you aren't just winging it?
No, you don't just prompt until the code compiles. You architect the constraints first, and the AI merely fills in the localized implementation. Under SDD, one enterprise study showed a 73% reduction in security defects compared to unstructured AI generation.
So Script2Encrypt represents the AI vibe-coded approach to compiling TypeScript. What does a human-engineered, architecturally sound approach look like today?
The Hacker News thread highlighted a project called Porphor, built by a solo developer known as Canada Honk. Porphor is a from-scratch JavaScript and TypeScript to native compiler. It is moving much slower. It currently has about 68% compliance with the Test262 ECMAScript conformance suite.
Okay, so it's not finished.
No, but compiler experts universally praise it because the developer is making careful, mathematically sound trade-offs rather than just slapping a quick JS band-aid over untyped code.
And there's another fascinating alternative we found on Mastodon. Hong Min-hae is building a compiler called Oseo, named after the Korean word for flying squirrel. The architectural contrast between Script2Encrypt and Oseo is just night and day.
Yeah, Script2Encrypt fundamentally trusts the TypeScript checker. If TypeScript says a variable is a number, Scriptcar lowers it into a typed IR based on that trust. When it hits something it cannot trust, like an any type array, it walls it off entirely in that Tier 2 QuickJS engine. It isolates the untrusted code behind a heavy boundary.
Whereas Oseo takes a completely different path, a trust nothing model.
Right. Oseo assumes that TypeScript types are actively lying to you.
Right.
It uses a generic plus guarded model, which is a tradition going back to classic Lisp compilers like SBCL or Ches scheme.
Wait, let's break down how a runtime guard actually works physically at the CPU level. Does the compiler attach, like, a tiny tag to the data in memory, and the CPU checks that tag before doing the math?
That is precisely how techniques like pointer tagging or NAND boxing work. In Oseo, a value annotated as a number might still turn out to be a string at runtime. But if that tag check fails, if the runtime guard triggers Oseo, doesn't fall back to a completely different slow JavaScript interpreter like QuickJS.
What does it do?
It simply falls through to already compiled generic native code designed to handle dynamic types safely.
Here's where it gets really interesting. The irony here is incredible. Vercel's AI-assisted tool, backed by massive enterprise compute and generating code at lightning speed, built a massive, complex, heavily partitioned wall between typed and untyped code. But a solo human engineer, thinking deeply about the underlying architecture, built a highly flexible, unified model that inherently expects and natively manages the chaos of JavaScript.
Exactly. Oseo doesn't make static gambles on numeric representation that force it to rely on a fallback engine. It integrates the dynamic nature of the language into the native compilation strategy itself. It's a fundamental difference in architectural philosophy, one born of deep historical domain expertise and the other born of rapid localized iteration optimized for passing tests quickly.
It really highlights the danger of throwing AI at a massive system design problem without a foundational specification. Let's sort of summarize this intellectual journey we've been on today. We deconstructed the architectural promise of Script2Zeal and its zero runtime TypeScript vision. We exposed the brutal reality of compiling the modern NPM ecosystem, where the any type and untyped dependencies instantly force you into slow dynamic fallbacks. And we explored the very real dangers of vibe coding complex systems, letting AI generate millions of lines of code without sound architectural foresight.
The takeaway for you, as a listener, is recognizing that whether you are writing basic CI scripts, building an internal CLI tool, or architecting massive enterprise systems, the fundamental rules of engineering haven't changed. Code generation speed means absolutely nothing if the underlying architectural design pattern is flawed. You have to look past the benchmarks on the readme. You must evaluate how a system behaves when it hits the messy, chaotic reality of your actual production environment, not just a sterile benchmark test.
We are definitely entering a new era of software development, and I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over as you go about your week. As AI agents become increasingly capable of generating millions of lines of syntax in seconds, will the role of the software engineer entirely cease to involve writing logic? Are we moving to a future where we exist exclusively as authors of strict architectural specifications? If the code itself is about to become a disposable byproduct, generated and discarded on the fly, who is making sure the blueprints for that overnight skyscraper are actually safe to inhabit? Thanks for joining us for another episode of Kernel Panic. Stay curious and check your dependencies. We'll be right back.